It doesn't matter if you've been the wickedest person on the earth. It doesn't matter whether you've had your doctrines all upside down or inside out. It doesn't matter who or what you are. All you need to do is to let your heart come true on the responses to the questions that God asks yourself. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Have you? Praise God. No. Well, what in the world did you allow yourself to be baptized for? Oh, you see, well, I was only taught that it was a sort of following the Lord in baptism. See? Oh, well, I want to tell you that it was something far beyond that. You were testifying to the world that you were baptized in the Holy Ghost when you were baptized in water. That's part of your testimony. Praise God. So you'd better do something about it. You can't be on false premises. Something's got to change. The man that baptized you in Jesus' name, and Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost and fire. You're told that. He only baptizes in the Holy Ghost and fire. He doesn't baptize anybody in water. Here, you better start reading your Bible again. So you were testifying that you were being baptized by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he only baptizes in the Holy Ghost. Fire. That's the only baptism he baptizes with. Have you discovered that? Praise God. He only deals in spirit. Amen. Now and again, in his earthly life, he brought spirit to bear on material and physical. What you got? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Well, all right, just hand them over here, son. See? He brought spirit to bear on the material and on the physical and the natural. He only deals in spirit. Hallelujah. He's there to do the work. Yes, he's there to flood you, immerse you, put you right into the spirit, and the spirit right into you, that you just become one spirit. And are moving in this great realm, and all you've got to do is to go on being obedient, go on just answering up straight to the questions that are asked you, and walking in simple obedience to the things that you're told, and you'll grow on, and you'll go, and you'll grow, and you'll grow, and it's as simple as that. It's as lovely as that. The devil will come and he'll roar and he'll say, "How about this? How about that?" Doesn't matter about that. He's not on the way. Let him keep roaring. He's a liar anyway. Doesn't matter about him. You're on the truth. You're in the way. Glory. Let's look at it this way, shall we? Let's read in this same 19th chapter. It says that when Paul laid his hands on them, verse 6, the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. You see that? He only talked to these 12 men. He just asked them 2 questions and gave them an answer. When he went into the synagogue where they read the Bible every week, there he was arguing and disputing. There it is. It's written in your book. See? Isn't it simple? Go to the synagogue. Somebody reads Isaiah chapter 45, you see, and disputing and arguing. Oh, there you are. Apostles arguing with people to make them see the truth of Jesus, disputing their contradictions and their lies and all their doctrines, to tell the truth, you see. Oh, but we believe this. We've always believed this. What's that got to do with it? Listen to what God's saying to your soul. Well, there came a time when all the things I believed, I turned them off. I stopped believing them. And I started to listen to what God had to say. Hasn't God spoken to us along this line this afternoon? Many voices you're listening to. The voices of the prophets. These people were listening to, they were listening to the voices of the prophets. All those books of them, from the story of creation down through to Malachi, they were listening to them. And when a man of God came, who could have laid his hands on them in the name of Jesus, and they would have received the Holy Spirit of God, they argued with him. All the time that people were speaking about baptized in water and repenting of your sins and that, they were all with it. All with it. Praise God. John was a wonderful prophet. They were all with that, talking about the blood being shed and baptism in water and getting forgiven and all that. They were all with that. But when Paul started to really talk them, not about the highway that John laid of forgiveness and remission, but started to talk them about the way on the highway, the life that should come forth from the fact that you've repented of your sin truly, and this great life of Jesus Christ where God is giving himself and not a favor, though he does it in his favor, where God is not just being gracious to you to forgive you your sins, but being glorious to you in filling you with his Spirit and giving you Jesus Christ. They didn't want that. They didn't want it. They argued about that. Praise God. Let's hear the gospel. We don't want to hear this talk about, let's hear about getting our sins forgiven. My dear beloved Jesus Christ never had to get his sins forgiven once. He was the way. This way is called the way of holiness. Not constant sinning and getting your sins forgiven all over again. Praise God. Don't you see there's a release from that world? Don't you see there's a way, beloved? A highway and a way! Oh, glory, glory be to God. Everybody can see the highway. But the highway was only there that you could see the way. At one time, one solitary figure walking on the highway. Jesus of Nazareth. Now you can pick up your Bible and you can see Paul and you can see John and you can see Peter and you can see dear old Stephen and you can see these great men and women, a noble army, men and boys, the matron and the maid. They're around the Savior's throne rejoicing in robes of light arrayed. They climb the steep ascent to heaven through sorrow, toil and pain. O God, to us may grace be given to follow in their train. Amen. Don't plead for grace now, it's here. Amen. Amen. The way, they saw the way. Amen. And left it clear. Paul never obscured Jesus Christ. By God's grace he made him the plainer to us, isn't that right? That's what he said, that Christ should be magnified in my body. That tiny little speck, one person in history, the great God, he was only a little man. You know what I mean, because men are very little. That's what I mean. He was great, eternal, wonderful. And then came those who followed after him. And through them we see him magnified. we see this Jesus actually living and working. See what he can do with a man like Saul. See what he can do with a Peter. See what he can do with a Lydia. See what he can do with a jailer from Philippi. See what he can do with all these people who've left their blood staining the earth of the Colosseum in Rome that people go to look at now. See them. Do you see them? See them that we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let's run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus through these great magnifying glasses, if I might put it that way. These magnificent men and women who were born with a heredity of sin and shame like you, born in their impossibilities, born in their topsy-turvy world, born and lived to be blasphemers and Christ deniers and church persecutors, and they were saved, and oh, they magnify this great living Christ to us. You see, and it says, it says in verse 9 of this chapter, let's look at it, when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, old Paul separated. Listen, if you keep on, beloved, if you're here against this, there'll come a time when God will separate you from it. He'll separate his people from you. God does it. Amen. There comes a time, beloved, when disputing and argument and moving about in one's own littlenesses and contradictions and fearfulnesses, as though God were some ogre and Jesus Christ isn't the only real eternal lover of the human race, if we keep on our own way, there'll come a time when God will separate his people from us. Amen. You see, they didn't argue all the time the highway was being preached, you know, repentance from sin. But when the way came, when they moved in the glory of being baptized in the Holy Ghost, when these men got into the realm of the gifts of the Spirit, not having that, not having the way, no, not having it, that's what they said. So Paul said, come on, come on. There was a shocking thing for Ephesus when that happened, but it was a glorious thing for the church at Ephesus. Those people lived in the glory of the baptism of the Spirit, and when you read the letter to the Ephesians, you read it as a written unto a company that had been baptized in the Spirit of God, a people upon whom the Spirit of God had come, and was living there, and they were living the Christ life. See, and they were functioning in the greatness of this way. And I want to tell you, beloved, that it's the way and it's the only way. There aren't two ways in Scripture. Only one way. It's Jesus. That's right, isn't it? And you realize that until Jesus Christ came onto the highway as the way, nobody thought about crucifying him. Nobody thought of rejecting him. Nobody thought of doing anything. But as soon as he came onto the highway as the way, his own relatives, but that is, they were born of Mary, hated him. That's right. You can read that in John chapter 7. His brethren didn't believe on him. His own hometown rejected him. That's right. His own nation turned against him. And if you like, the whole wide world crucified. Because he was the way. There's no improving on Jesus Christ. You can't be better than he. If you're not as he, you're subnormal. According to God's reckonings. And that's the only thing that really matters. That's the only thing that matters. That you and I are unto our Heavenly Father a child like Jesus. That's the only thing that matters. One more thought. And this time it's in 1 Corinthians. You know where I'm going, I expect. It's in the 13th chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, I can make this testimony of Paul. I can't say all he said, but I can say this one. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy, I don't think I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. I don't know that I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. I wouldn't really know, because Paul didn't move any mountains to show that he had it. At least I never read that he moved any mountains. I think that's rather good. You don't have to do everything you can do. Keep that well in mind. Most people try to do all the things they can do, and then they get blown up saying, "Isn't he a wonderful man?" Instead of saying, "Hasn't he got a wonderful Lord?" You see, you don't have to do all the things you can do just to display your gifts and your powers. You see, Jesus Christ didn't display all the gifts. Have you ever thought about that? Say, really? Well, I don't read that he ever spoke in tongues. Do you? Yet everybody seems to be speaking in tongues. It's rather marvelous. I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. I tell you what, I'd rather speak with the tongue of Jesus. Whatever language it's in. Wouldn't you? All right. He says, "And though I give my body to be burned, and bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and haven't got this charity, this real love." What is charity in this sense? Is it that you go past and drop 5 paisa in a begging bowl somewhere outside of a Hindu temple in India? Is it that? No, it's not that. This charity is the charity of God toward men, that he should give the most priceless treasure he had, his own soul. This is love unspeakable. This is love that treats you as though you were the royal heirs of heaven. It's love that treats you as being better than God. For God became the scavenger and the sin bearer and the moral lavatory. See? And treated you as though you deserved the highest place in heaven. Yeah, how about that? Now that's charity, and if you haven't got that, you haven't got it. That's what it is. Say, "Well, I've never heard anybody say that before." No, I've never said it quite that way myself before. I tell you, you have to have inspirational ministry to be of any use to God. It has to be flowing in. Nothing cut and dried about Jesus Christ, except it was when they saw his body before they laid it in the tomb, all cut, and dried and wound up in spices. And then to say, well, I don't like this cut and dried position, so he rose up out of it. And he left all the spices and all the brave clothes and all that glorious position, because it's death when it's cut and dry, to live to you, for you. Your Jesus, this one that can move mountains, this one that has all faith and understands all mysteries, or even the mystery of human existence and life. Yes, he understands it. And he understands all about death, and he understands all about atonement for sin. He understands all about full forgiveness. He understands how to cleanse a person. He understands how to ascend to heaven and sit on the throne. He understands how to do everything. Glory, glory be to Jesus. That same living man is the one that must come in you. The Holy Ghost has come to do it. That's what he's come for. To reproduce him in you. What a tremendous thing. And if you haven't got this love, you haven't got what is called in the last verse of the 12th chapter, the excellent way. If you want to excel in the way, excel this way. Have all the gifts. Understand all the mysteries if you can, brother, sister. Get all that God has to give you. Be a person that God wants for his use and his gospel ministry. Be what he wants. You can have it all. And this excellence of love, this charity divine, this revelation from heaven, this only manhood will be your life. Love isn't something I get. Love is something I am. Love was displayed that I should become love and a lover of mankind. That's the excellent way. Oh, glory. Listen, beloved. I've seen it win through when prophecies have failed, and when words of knowledge have vanished away and fallen onto deaf ears, when people have been buried deeper than the tomb of Jesus. Down, down, down under sin and bondages. I've seen when all words of knowledge and wisdom have been spoken to souls and they cannot move even for the pains that you spend upon them. I've seen them melt and break with one great hug of love. Some of you in this room know that. When you can't move a mountain, you can move a human soul when you love. The excellent way. Jesus excels at it. And if he's in you, he'll excel at it. At least that's what I've discovered. That's the thing the Spirit of God has taught me. And I don't think it's worth preaching one word except that you've proved it before you preach it. So the Lord moveth on. A highway shall be there, and the way, and it shall be called the way. Of holiness. Holiness. Holiness? Who to? Unto the Lord. That's all that matters. And he looks down on it and is holy. Holy. Hasn't that man got a holy way with him? Not unless he's got a loving way. Enough not unless he has the powers of that holiness. Not unless he can break through his own inhibitions and littleness and impotence and come to the needs of others that are strewn all along the pathway, holding up their begging bowls, looking for some gift from a God about whom they've heard that he loves them and is a God of grace and suffered on the cross to bear their sins and took the punishment and took the brunt and took the horror and took the hell. Beloved, unless there's a revolution in the churches, unless some rise up and say, oh God, the way of holiness, the way of holiness, Lord, keep me free from self and my own tragedies, and keep me free from my littlenesses, and make me full of God, and of grace, and of glory. And unless your abandoned heart goes with your words, what can be done? And where shall men go, save to the pills that they dole out, save to the things wherewith they're trying to treat poor, perishing, fallen humanities, with books from various authors and policies from various governments and bigger bombs? Don't you get mixed up in all that lot. I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ. You're to be gathered up in the heart of that man there. You're to know him in you, throbbing and moving in all yourself. You're to know his charities that he's brought, coming not only as a love gift from heaven, but bringing this great charity of God to you. I want to ask you, will you accept God's charity this afternoon? Will you accept it? Or are you one of these people that don't want to accept charity? Hallelujah. The spirit of charity has come to make you a magnification of the way. Jesus, Lord, you're my life, you're my all. If you're on your hands and knees, let's confirm them, shall we? But beloved, you may say, I'm in the way, but I'm crawling, brother, I'm crawling. Get up, brother, get up. Let's lift up the hands that hang down. Let's confirm the feeble knee. Let's make straight paths for everybody's feet. But let the lame man be healed now, and let him leap as a hart. You see? Like it says about John Bunyan's pilgrims. Do you remember how that when he left the city of destruction, he comes at last to a cross and a great gulf there? You know, and it says this cross of Jesus like a watchman set to guard the way to that eternal grave. And he sees his Lord and he knows the glory and he feels the burden roll off his back and it goes tumbling down into the pit and it's gone forever. And he took three leaps for joy. Amen. You can see that pilgrim leaping and jumping and... That's right. goes on his way. All right, beloved? The way. The way. Are you on the way of holiness? See, what we do is take the word holiness, if you're great doctrinal preachers, you just take the word holiness and preach a sermon on holiness. But you can't preach a sermon on holiness unless you preach a sermon on Jesus. I know I've preached lots of sermons on holiness. Well, I think I must have done. Jesus, God didn't send holiness, he sent Jesus. God didn't send gifts, he sent Jesus. The holiness was all in him. The righteousness was all in him. Circulating in his own veins, filled his life with glory, so that every step was a sweet walk with his Father. No barriers between, not a stain on his conscience. Nothing, sweet, glorious, unbroken communion. There was no veil there, so he made his flesh a veil. That somehow when that was rent, people would enter into that unveiled life within and live and walk and move with God in a wonderful way, beloved. The Holy Ghost has come for this, beloved. He's come for it, and he's with us. Amen. And God will lay his hand on you. He'll do this thing. Let your willing soul come up. Let it come up. Fearful heart. Let your fears go. Every one of them. Let them be gone now. Say go in Jesus' name. Be gone. Amen. I'll fear no longer. I'll jump into the eternal arms of the baptizer. I'll let him do this great thing for me. Move then. And the Lord will meet you. Let's pray together, shall we? Now is always God's accepted time. Hallelujah. Now is the day of this full salvation. The only kind God's got. People manufacture salvation and full salvation. That's in men's lips. It's not in the Bible. Praise God. You believe it? Go on, now you start to talk to him. And let your heart go with your words. Go on, reach up. You've got two great big hands in your soul. Reach up. Your spirit's got legs on it. Get up. That's right.